النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاع أعظمه فصاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العطاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, by way of introduction, one or two things. One is we have to express our heartfelt gratitude to the brothers of the North here. How wonderfully they have welcomed us, have entertained us, hosted us, looked after us, and the love for Deen which is here. The so beautiful masjid here, mashallah. The masjid in Oshakati, mashallah, this all shows the great concern and love for Deen and for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, which is a thing which is very rare in the world today. And when you find something rare, it is more valuable. If it is common, it's also valuable. But when it's rare, it's much more valuable. May Allah reward all the brothers for all the efforts of building this masjid, maintaining it, etc. For all the efforts here. I just came to know now, where we had tea in the room. So I asked if there is a classroom there. So Maulana told me that they feed the people on Juma after Namaz. MashaAllah, this is such a great thing. So by which people become encouraged, even just like that, to feed somebody. To feed your guest is something great. And to feed Allah's guest, those who came for Juma, what a great thing is not that. May Allah accept from everyone all the efforts that have been put in. The other thing, and we feel very happy and honored to Allah Ta'ala, firstly, that Allah gave us the opportunity in this rare and remote place, which not long ago was just bush, nothing else. Today, mashallah, it's a city, it's a masjid, there's water flowing, there are tar roads, everything. Not long ago it was a bush, one part of Africa. Allah gave us the opportunity to make sujood here. Mm-hmm. We praise Allah Ta'ala for offering us this opportunity. And also to say a few words to meet our Muslim brothers. And that is great joy when you meet your Muslim brother. And then to say a few words of me, and we appreciate everyone who gave us the 2 ears so that we could speak. If you did not give us your ears, how what could we speak? We have only got one tongue, but you have each one has given us 2 ears to listen to. May Allah reward you for that as well, inshaAllah. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, was a great, great aashiq, lover of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told us that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can become alive in the ummah again. And with regard to the importance, the value, the necessity, the rewards of sunnah, Hazrat has written lot of poems also, ash'ar. One particular poem which Allah in His kind mercy has made known in the whole world is that Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. What does this mean? Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke, on the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is following in his lifestyle, following the sunnah, hai jannat ke raaste. This is the road to jannat. Like for example, a person who follows the board that shows on Dongwa, he will reach there.
A person who follows the path of Shakati, he will reach there. Bandhuk, you will reach there. So anyone who will follow the path of Sunnat in his life, makes his life according to Sunnat, you will see he comes out in Jannah. Right? That is a great thing. But there are two things that we should keep in mind here. That Jannah is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the creator. And the creation can never compare with the creator. Like for example, there is a person who has got a soap factory. Every day it produces 3,000 cakes of soap, 10,000 cakes of soap in his factory. In the month he produces 300,000 cakes of soap. Then he's got a candle factory also. He's got a filling station, 5-10 filling stations. He's got 5-10 blocks of flats also. He's got 10-15 supermarkets also. So what is the comparison of one cake of soap to that owner? What is his value? And what is one cake of soap? Like that you can understand. Jannat, sir, ankhope, it's a very, very great thing which we ask and we want. But compared to Allah, Jannat is not even like the cake of soap compared to Allah. Allah is Allah. Wahdahu la shariq. Laysa kamithlihi shay'. There is no second to Allah. There is nothing that can look and be equal. Allah can make 200 other Jannats also. How beautiful Jannat it is and so enjoyable. Allah can make it 20 times more enjoyable. But the second Allah you can't get. Allah is only one. So by following Sunnahs, you will get Jannat also. And another point about Jannat, it is credit. We are living, Allah keep us on Iman, Islam, let us die, all of us, all the Muslims. We die on Islam and Iman and with sincere Tawbah and we go straight to Jannat inshallah. But it is a whole lifetime. How long are we still going to live? Some of us 10 years, some of us 20 years, some of us 50 years. Nobody knows. But it's still a long time. In the qabr, how long are we going to? The day of Qiyamah, how long it will be? After that, inshaAllah, Allah will give us all the Muslims, Allah will give us Jannah. So it is a long way. And Allah Ta'ala, Allah se milate hai. A person gets connected with Allah Ta'ala, sunnat ke raaste. By sunnat, you get connected to Allah, the creator of Jannah. Okay? I usually give this example. If there is a person whose mother's name, father's name, sister's name, auntie's name is Fatima, he doesn't get much enjoyment in saying the word Fatima, the name. But when he is engaged to a girl whose name is Fatima, now it's completely different. He will take care to pronounce it also properly. He'll go by Parisa and he'll say that the Fatima. I can't just say Fatima or Fatim or Patli or Patu or so many wrong pronunciations of the word. And if somebody else calls us something like that, he'll get angry also. And at night he can't sleep also. And he's not only saying it properly with Tajweed and Makharij, but he's saying it with Tarannum in a tune also. Fatima, Fatima. He's madly in love, he's getting married to Fatima. There is a different thing. After 3 months, 6 months, he'll fight like cats and dogs with poor Fatima. But at the moment, he's so madly in love with her. So one person, one name, the name Fatima is made you so mad. So what to say about Allah Rabbul Izzat, who has created millions of Fatimas, and millions of Khadijas, and millions of Aisha, and millions of beautiful waterfalls, and beautiful sun rising over the mountain and setting over the sea. How beautiful is not Allah? And this is what we have to learn, the beauty of Allah. Then take the name Allah, Allah. More than the enjoyment in the name Fatima, Allah's name has got in it millions of Fatimas and millions of Khadijas and millions of people with good character and good habit. When you meet somebody who is a generous person, kind person, who just for the sake of deen, your heart opens up. You feel so happy. And all this is from Allah. If you meet with Allah, so to say, what enjoyment won't you get? So by sunnah, you will get connected with Allah Rabbul Izzat also. So naqsha qadam nabi ke hai, in following the footsteps of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, hai jannat ke raaste, is the road to Jannah. Allah se milate hai, a person gets connected with Allah, sunnat ke raaste. And getting connected with Allah is not credit.
Now immediately already you will be connected with Allah. You don't have to wait your whole life until you come in the qabr. What you're going to get there is much more. But now already, and this is the difference of the awliya and of us, that these are those people who are in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَعْنٍ, that every day Allah is in a different splendor. Allama Alusi, a great mufassir of the Quran of Baghdad, he says, يوم in this ayat means, أي في كل وقت من الأوقات وفي كل لحظة من اللحظات. Every split second, Allah is in a different splendor. And whose connection is with Allah, He also is in a different splendor all the time. There is no question of boredom for that person. There is no question of tension for that person. There is no question of despondency for that person. When your connection is with Allah, and Allah is in a different splendor all the time, you are also in a different splendor all the time. So may Allah let us understand and follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sunnah that I will mention, which is a very, very simple, easy sunnah, is the sunnah of making miswak. Okay? We all know what is a miswak. So we use the miswak when we make him wudu. After we wash our hands, we gargle and put water in our mouth, take the miswak and make miswak. Clean your mouth. It comes in the hadith sharif, in the salat of siwa, that namaz which you made, for which you made miswak in that wudu before that. أَفْضَلُ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ صَلَاتًا, it is more better, not equal to, more better than 70 namazes بِدُونَ سِوَاكٍ, that you made without making miswak. To understand it easily, all of us, we made 3 rakats maghrib namaz for us now. Behind the same imam, same 3 rakats, same 3 rukus, 6 sajdas, 2 salams, same, every one of us. But those of us who made miswak when we made wudu, we didn't get the sawab of 3 rakats of namaz, 3 times 70, which is 210. Minimum, because here in the hadith it doesn't say equal to, more better. And Allah's more better. Mm. A poor man tells you, do this job, I'll give you $20. And you know that he's poor, he hasn't got much money, and he's stingy also. Or perhaps he'll even try and underpay you. But a rich man, and a person who is generous, he'll say, you do this job, I'll see what I'll give you. $20, I'll see. You can expect 50 from him. You can expect 100 from him. Allah Rabbul Izzat, how much can't you expect from Allah? Then, not only 3 sunnah for us we make, we all make 2 sunnahs also. Multiply that by another 17. And that again, absalu min. So just by making the miswak, see that we all make namaz. 50, 100 people we are sitting, we make namaz. Those who make miswak, where are they? And those, we make the same effort. But just by the act of miswak, see where a person reaches. Then Ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullahi from Sham, Syria, a great jurist also, great faqih, among the great fuqaha, he writes that, inna sunnata siwa, the sunnat of miswak, tuzakkiru kalimata shahadati. The sunnat of miswak, the market of that, will remind you at the time of mort, kalimata shahadati. That you must read, not only kalima Islam, la ilaha illallah, which is a very, very great thing. If anyone, my mother when she passed away, father, anyone passed away, and they read kalima, we are so happy. She read kalima and she passed away. But this is kalima is shahada. That is under oath to swear that ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I take oath and I swear there is only one. One is to make a statement. And one is to say it under oath. There is a great difference between the two. One is you just say something. One is you sign an affidavit. And the oath you swear that this is what the story is. So by the barakat of miswak, a person at the time of mort will under oath swear the oneness of Allah. It's not far-fetched that by the barakat of that, Allah will give him mort of shahada. He like a shaheed's mort, Allah will give him by the barakat of miswak. Miswak's available yet? They are available?
We can cut.
You can cut. Trees are here. So no problem. You don't even have to pay.
Yeah.
Not even $1, nothing. MashaAllah, Mawlana Muhammad said, Mawlana Zakaria sells your miswaks also. I'm not an agent for Mawlana Zakaria. For anyone, if you want it easy, you can get it or go cut from the tree and get miswak, inshallah.
comfortable with the teacher, they are not comfortable.
The chair is not comfortable.
No, 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 it's fine. Huh? Fine. Jazakallah. So try, please. Don't just take it like a bayan. We came in here bayan and we are gone. Take it like a lesson, like something important. So when we go, try your best to get your miswak by tonight. If not, by tomorrow morning. And keep the miswak in your pocket. Every time you... And there are so many benefits of miswak, health benefits also. So try and make miswak. We always try to do that. And see the great benefits of it. For every time you make miswak in these times of ours, man ahya sunnati, a person who makes one of my sunnats alive, عِنْدَ فَسَادِ ummati, when this is the condition, the fasad in the ummat, فَلَهُ بِهَا أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ, he gets the reward of 100 shaheeds. So not only this mort and death, but 100 shaheeds sawab, every time we make this one. And one shaheed, Allahu Akbar, what is the reward? 5 times a day we make wudu, we can each time get the reward of altogether 500 shaheed sawab. So easy our deen is. In dunya you can never earn like this. How much you can earn in deen, dunya you can never earn like that. And to earn deen is very easy. But the only thing is we haven't got the interest. Dunya is cash in front of us, we see dunya. So it's easy to earn for dunya. Allah made deen you earn, and what you have to develop, the quality of iman. If you got iman, you can see your earnings of it. If you haven't got the quality of iman, or it's weak, then you say in akhirat we'll see what happens. It's not here now. But if you got the quality of iman, strong. Now already you can see 100 shaheed sawab and what the difference is. May Allah let us make effort on our iman also. Let it become strong and then it will bring a great difference in our lives. The ayat of the Quran Sharif was recited. It is in the third ruku of Al-Lam Mim Sajda from the beginning of the Quran Sharif. In the first ruku, Al-Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. In that ruku, Allah has discussed two types of people. One is the mu'mineen, mukhlisin, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. All the qualities of the true sincere believers. And then in two short ayats, Allah has explained the qualities of the non-believers, those who don't believe in Allah Ta'ala. These two groups are very clear. The true believers, sincere believers, and the non-believers. They are two clear groups. Then in one long ruku, about 13 ayats or so, Allah describes the condition of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. There are amongst people who say what they say, I believe in Allah. I believe in the day of Qiyamah. But Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not true believers. They're just putting a show of iman. They are not true believers. And then in the whole ruku, Allah explains the munafiqeen, what they are. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try and deceive Allah. Who can deceive Allah? But they think they are deceiving Allah. And they try and deceive the believers also. That we are also mu'mineen. We are mukhlisin. We desire your good for you. So, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنْفُسَهُمْ. They are not deceiving anyone but themselves. In other words, all are the types of hypocrisy and all the wrong parties which will come in Islam till the day of Qiyamah. Allah put discuss them here. If we study this ruku properly, you will be able to see clearly today also who are the true believers and who are those who are just acting like they are believers. Who are with us, they sit with us, they sleep with us, they eat with us, but they are actually the enemies of Islam. They don't like Islam. And they are spies, سَمَّعُونَ لِقَوْمِ آخَرِينَ. They spy for other people. All that, if you study this, you'll understand, you'll see clearly who are the true believers and who are those people who are not true. Anyway, after discussing, and till Qiyamah, you can only put in one of these three groups. One of the sincere, true believers, Allah make us all of them. And the non-believers, which are clear, you can see they are non-believers, Allah save us from them, and Allah save us from the group of the munafiqeen also. Those people who are not sincere and true believers. After this, the next ruku, Allah addresses
Ya ayyuhal nas, O people. Usually the Quran speaks, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have brought iman. But Ya Allah didn't say amanu, Ya ayyuhal nas, because Allah is addressing the kuffar also. Allah is addressing the munafiqeen also, and the true believers also, all of them. Allah says, put aside all your differences. Put aside all your different philosophies and your ideologies. You do just one thing and you will come right. Everything will come right. What must you do? U'budu rabbakum. U'budu, worship. The plural in Arabic here. Who must you worship? Your Rabb. Okay, so three words here Allah said. U'budu, Rabb, and kum. Your Rabb. Worship your Rabb. That is what Allah has said here. Now we will just analyze and see how much of ulum and knowledge there is in Quran Sharif. Allah said first, U'budu, make ibadah. Now there are different meanings of ibadah which we have to understand here. One ibadah, we all know, salat, song, zakat, hajj. The whole ummah knows this is ibadah. So that also we must do. Another ibadah which Allah speaks of in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and mankind, but only for one reason, that they was worshipped. That is what Allah has written. But the meaning of it, the tafsir, which the ulama of tafsir have written, إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ. I have created them that they must recognize. That is the first and primary thing, even before ibadah, to recognize Allah Ta'ala. For example, one person, he invited a great wali of Allah, Hazrat Maulana Shah, Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, to his house. This was a wealthy man, a nawab, like a king he was in his time. So he invited Maulana to his house. When he came to Maulana's house to fetch him, to take him, so he asked one question. He said, why don't the people respect the ulama nowadays? They don't respect the Hafiz and Quran. They don't respect the ulama. Maulana didn't reply to him. He just kept quiet. They went to his place. When there, one of his workers, he spoke very abruptly and rudely to the boss, to the Nawab sahab. Then Maulana asked him, your worker, he works for you, and he speaks so rudely and abruptly to you. So then that man told, he's a new worker, he doesn't know who I am. Then Maulana asked, you got your answer now. That the people who don't know the value of a Maulana, they don't respect it. The people who don't know the value of a Hafiz of Quran, they don't respect it. So we don't have to worry. We must worry whether Allah is happy with us or not. And if we are genuine Hafiz and Ali, Allah is happy. The world, the vast majority don't know the value. Anyway, till we don't know who Allah is, we won't appreciate Allah. That is the point that I wanted to make from the story. That till we, like if a worker, if one person, you are one of your workers, you need a new worker. You told one of your good old workers, you must bring somebody also. I want somebody else to do work. That person comes in and he still hasn't got a job or anything, and you come in the shop. And you came 2 hours late to the boss. You came 10 o'clock. Shop opens 8 o'clock. And you came 10 o'clock. And that worker said, who's this man? He comes 10 o'clock to shop. He doesn't know he's the boss. So like that, till we don't know who Allah is, we can't appreciate Allah. So the first and foremost thing that we have to do is to acquire the ma'rifat, recognition of Allah. To know who Allah Ta'ala is. And for that, inshallah, this ayat itself gives Allah's ma'rifat, which we will discuss. First, I will just explain a few of the other meanings of ibadah. Ibadah is to gain abdiyat, humility in a person. If ibadah is bringing pride in a person is making 5 times salah, a person is making tahajjud also, he's keeping fast on Monday, Thursday, nafil also, but this is bringing pride in him. Holier than thou, I'm better than you, then that is also not accepted. That is the example of that is, he's driving a Mercedes-Benz, top of the range, latest model, or a BMW, but he's driving it in the wrong direction. You got ibadah which is like that, more greater than that, any Mercedes-Benz, more greater than any BMW.
But if you are not doing it and getting abdiyat, with that ibadat you are going to Jahannam. Hey, one poet says so beautifully, Naz-e taqwa se, when a person got taqwa, which is very great, and on that point, a great alim, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, Nek banna faraz hai, apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. To become nek and pious, muttaqi is faraz to become nek. But to think I'm pious, this is haram. Never ever think I'm pious. To become pious is faraz. And a person who does this will always be going up the scale that I'm not yet pious. He'll be going up. And a person who thinks I'm pious, he won't only stop moving up, he'll fall down immediately. For example, we take a ball and we throw it up. It's going up, 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 up. At a certain point, now it doesn't stop. It stops going up. Does it stay there in the air? It comes down faster than what it went up. So the minute a person thinks I'm pious, I'm a big alim, I'm a big maulana, I'm a very good person, and he becomes complacent, he won't go up, he's come down faster than what he went up. So we want to buy ibadah. So this poet says, Naz-e taqwa se, instead of the pride of taqwa, a person got taqwa, but he's got naz, he's proud about it. Naz-e taqwa se phir achi hai, niyaz-e randi. A poor woman who for some reason is selling herself, a prostitute, but she's crying to Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me, what am I doing? I shouldn't be doing this, please forgive me. But she's desperate, she haven't got money, whatever, she got two children, whatever. But she's crying. This person with taqwa and pride is worse than that woman who is doing that terrible sin, but she's crying to Allah Ta'ala. Mais naz-e taqwa se phir achi hai, niyaz-e randi. So, abdiyat must come into a person. Humility by ibadat. And by making ibadat, a person must become an abd, a slave of Allah. He mustn't become like Fir'aun, Haman, ana, wala khayri. Hey, I'm the big shot. There's nobody like me. No, humbleness must come into that. He must become a slave of Allah. And abd is such a quality to be humble. Whatever great, great namaz, favors Allah gave to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave it to him because of his abdiyah, because of his being humble. For example, that one of the greatest namaz was Quran Sharif. And Allah Ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. That because of abdiyah, we gave him the greatest kitab. Mi'raj, where even Jibreel alayhi salam couldn't go further. Jibreel alayhi salam said, if I go to the extent of one hair breadth, more front, I will be brought down to ashes. I can't go. Here, our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And for that also Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi layla. That because of abdiyat, you humble. Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. A person who humbles himself, Allah raises that person. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهِ. And a person who has pride, Allah throws him down. With pride, Allah destroys the person. With humility, Allah raises the person. So that is what we have to have. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, who is our Nabi also. Every Nabi is our Nabi also. And the Christians believed wrong that he was crucified on the cross. He wasn't. But رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Allah raised him up. And Allah took him to the heavens, and him also. Why? قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأُوصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. Then he قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. When he was still a small baby, he was just born, they accused his mother that she's, what she did, how can she have a baby? Allah made the baby that was just born speak, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. May Allah come and down. I'm the slave of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Because of that abdiyah, Allah kept him in the heavens where he is still today. And Allah is giving him his risk, everything. And he will come down. And then he will come, Allahu Akbar. The time will come, we're on the day of Qiyamah, when our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be walking side by side. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr on the right of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Say, then I hope just to see this may Allah. Hey, if we can just see that scene, Allahu Akbar, that was all on Abdiyah. And by Abdiyah, we must become a slave of Allah. And what does it mean to become a slave? To understand it very simply, Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, he had bought a slave from the market, and he brought the slave home. And he asked the slave, what will you eat? The slave said, the slave got no choice. Whatever the master gives him to eat, that is what you eat. What will you wear? He said, a slave got no choice. Whatever the master gives him to wear, you will wear. Where will you sleep? All in detail, everything. He said, the slave got no choice. Then Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi set that slave free, gave him money, and said, you taught me how to be a slave of Allah. That a person mustn't have any choice. What Allah has declared for us, for example, month of Ramadan, so we don't make an excuse that Ramadan is in summer, very, very hot, we can't manage it, we'll keep roza, we'll fast in winter. No, we accept it. In Fajr, in summer, Fajr is very early. No, we read Fajr 8 o'clock. So we can't read Fajr 5 o'clock, half past 4. So we got no choice. What Allah has told us, and this has to come into us, everything, from head to toe, our appearance, from morning to night, not what I like, not what I want to do. We have to see what Allah wants us to do. And Allah has told us in the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif, and we got our ulama-i kiram who study 8 years, 10 years, and from the Quran, then they teach us that this is what Allah wants from you. For every one of us, it's not practical where we're going to learn Arabic. And then again, Arabic is not enough. You have to have more knowledge than Arabic. For example, I give you one little example. A father is lying on his bed at night going to sleep. And then he says, Muhammad, his son, young son, bring me water. So how will Muhammad take water for him? In what will he take water? In a glass, because he wants to drink. Sunday morning, the father is standing outside by the car. His sleeves are also rolled up. And he says, Muhammad, bring me water. What the father wants to do now? Wash the car. So what will Muhammad take water? In a bucket. The words are the same. Muhammad, bring me water. But the meaning is the same word. Now if at night when the father is lying down to sleep, and a person doesn't study from the ulama, you go on the internet, you take the translation of Quran Sharif, translation of Bukhari, and you take out your own meaning, it's possible that when the father is lying down to sleep, and he says, Muhammad, bring me water, you go with a bucket of water. And when he wants to wash the car, and he says the same words, Muhammad, bring me water, you'll go with a glass of water. So you see, the words can be the same, but to understand, you have to understand the circumstantial, which today in law courts they use circumstantial evidence. The evidence according to the circumstances, not only what was said, but according to the occasion. So this, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they didn't only know the words, they saw what happened at that time. And according to that, the ulama who have studied and they understand that situation, that circumstances, they will. Now if we only see on the internet, in a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, hadith of Muslim Sharif, we see a certain thing, we will just take that, we use our own mind. We can take out our own meanings from that. And that meaning, in so much it comes in the hadith Sharif. A person who studies Quran and interprets, makes tafsir of the Quran according to his own understanding, even his right is wrong. And he will go to the fire of Jahannam. We have to understand Quran, what Allah meant for us. So we must get Abdiyat, and we must become the slaves of Allah. Then the first meaning of this ayat, U'budu, worship. Well, it is also, in other, it's a command of Allah Ta'ala. And those who know Arabic will know that the command Amr is made from Mudar, from the verb of Mudar. And Mudar is continuity, present and future. That means Allah told us all the time, 24 hours make Allah's command. Now we might think, I can't manage 5 times a month.
Where I'm going to make 24 hours ibadah?
No, Islam is very, very easy. For example, you go into your shop to work. You go 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock. About 9 hours you are in your shop. You just make your niyyah that I'm fulfilling the command of Allah. Allah has commanded us, we must earn. I will look after, I won't be a burden to anyone. I won't be begged from people. I will look after myself. My house, my eating, my clothes, my transport. I'll see to my own needs. I'll see to my family also. That they also stay nice and comfortable. And you make even more bigger niyyah. I will help out, I will spend on the masjid. I will spend out on the madrasa. I will spend on the orphans. I will spend on the widows. I will help out people. That business of 9 hours is not dunya. That business of 9 hours, forget dunya, is a great demand. And you are earning great, great rewards by Allah Ta'ala. So to make 24 hours ibadat of Allah is not... But for this, stay in the company of Ahlullah. Those people who can understand, who can tell us, and who can keep on reminding us. Because we forget. Hey, we are told now, we forget it again. But we keep a contact, we become bad to a share. And when we keep contact with that share, and continuously we are reminded, it will come in our life. And just see what a great benefit. 9 hours you in your shop, we say ibadah. Then we eat, how much time we spent on lunch, breakfast, supper, about perhaps 1 hour, 1.5 hour, whatever time we spend. That also looks like dunya, we are eating. But eat according to sunnah. Eat with the niyyah that I get strength in my body. And with that strength, I will do all my dunya's work also. I will do my deen's work also. If we haven't got strength, you can't get up for namaz also. You're feeling very weak, a person who doesn't eat. He's very, very weak. Sometimes after a sickness, after an operation, you have to recuperate. You need time again to become strong again. You have become very weak. You can't do anything. So your niyyah is for eating also. That I'm eating in order to gain strength. I can make my ibadat, I can do my dunya's work. Now you sleep for 8 hours, for example. 8 hours you make this niyyah that Allah has made our system. You need rest also. And oh Allah, that your command, I'm sleeping now. And you sleep according to sunnah, that sleeping of yours can become a great, great ibadah. So 9 hours of shop, 8 hours of sleeping, 17 hours, 1-2 hours of your eating, 19 hours, all your time, in fact so much, listen to this properly, going to the toilet, which is a dirty thing. We go there for a dirty job, we go to the toilet. And also remember, the toilet is that jail for which there is no bail. Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, if you need to go toilet, you can't say I pay bail and I stay out of the toilet. Whoever you are, you have to go to toilet. And you can't get a locum for your toilet. You can't tell your wife, I have to go to toilet, but I'm very busy, man. I've got this appointment here. That phone call, I have to answer it here. You go to toilet for my sake. You can't. You yourself, you have to go. And how long the toilet detains you, that also, like for example, the judge gave a sentence, 20 years in jail, 10 years in jail. For how long you are sentenced to go to toilet, that also depends upon you. Sometimes you get finished in 2 minutes. Sometimes you're just not getting finished. The urine drops are just coming out. Or your stool, you think you are finished, you even wash yourself. Again your stomach is working. Again you have to sit. And if the toilet takes you 20 minutes, you have to sit for 20 minutes. You got no choice. If the toilet detains you for half an hour, half an hour. 2 minutes, 2 minutes. And no matter who you are, everyone has to go to toilet. I'm a very big man and I got no time to waste. Very busy man. I've got too much work, so I haven't got time for toilet. No, you'll have to go also. Everyone will have to eat. Everyone will have to go to toilet. So all this year, our 24 hours can become a great ibadah. This is Islam. Oh, wudu, rabbakum, Islam is not difficult. That how can I make for us today 5 times namaz is difficult. But you can see how easy 24 hours can be ibadah. And not a small ibadah, a great ibadah. But for that, we need the company of Ahlullah. The company of not only an Ali, but an Ali me Rabbani, Allah Wala. For example, there was this person which we all have heard in Bukhari Sharif's riwayat, who killed 99 people.
And then he thought, I must make Toba, I killed 99 people, what will happen to me in after? So he went to an alim, who was just an alim. And then that alim told him, no, you can never go to Jannah, you are doomed to go to Jannah. 99 people you killed, there's no question, 99 murders. So he became despondent. 99, I'm going to Jannah. So he said, why must I leave my score at 99? Let me make a century. And he killed the poor alim also. Then he made his century. But again, after some time, again he thought that this is not right. 100 people, and top of it all, an alim I killed also. I must make Tawbah. Now this time he met an alim, a Rabbani. An alim who knows Allah. If you go for your some matter to a lawyer, and the lawyer is only seeing the law, and he tells you, it's very hard for you to come out. But a lawyer who knows the loopholes also, he says, yeah, you are guilty, but there is a way you can come out. And he shows you the loophole, you can come out. So an alim knows the laws, and he will just tell you according to Sharia and Fiqh what the laws are. But an alim, a Rabbani, will show you loopholes also. So what is the loophole? Make Tawbah. And Allah has shown the loophole. It is there. So he says, you don't worry. 100 murders, but you make sincere Tawbah, Allah will forgive. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushrak bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. And your shirk Allah won't forgive, but besides that Allah, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. That those people who have done a great wrong upon themselves, Allah says, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah is that being, you just make tawbah, even from your shirk and kufr. 99-year-old kafir, who was worshipping idols and was making and selling idols, but he makes tawbah in 1 second, Allah forgives. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. So Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, Allah Ta'ala is so kind. So this is that we have to go make connection with the alim and Rabbani, and they will show us that how we can get connected to Allah Ta'ala, and how our 24 hours can become ibadah, and ibadah which will become enjoyment. Today most of us think that to make ibadah, read Quran Sharif. MashaAllah, I saw one brother here who was learning hips, walking here and becoming hips. Whole time he's learning, he's enjoying. Hey, we might think, I watch cricket, I'm getting enjoyment. I see filthy porn, I get some enjoyment. In Quran Sharif, they see enjoyment. And if we make our ta'alluq with Allah, wallah, I say, qasam, and I say, you will get so much enjoyment of deen, which you cannot even enjoy on a world cruise you go on a ship. Or you go and you go to Hollywood, or you go to Bollywood, or wherever else you go, you will never get, not in films, not in movies. Not in all sitting with our friends, chai peeke, gapshap karte hai, usme zara maza urate hai. You won't get that enjoyment what you read in Quran. Hey, when you read, then what enjoyment Allah Ta'ala. So this all is when we make connection with the alim and Rabbani. One more example I will give about that. For example, you are driving, you get a puncture. You don't know how to change the wheel. So you use your slank off. You use your brain. Eh? You take a 4-pound hammer, you take a chisel, and you're knocking out all the bolts or all the nuts from the wheel. Now you don't know how to lift up the car. You get 5-10 people who are walking around. I'll give you $10 each, please lift up that wheel car for me. I want to change my wheel. What a mess you are. You have all that bolts and that the nuts and everything you have, you won't change. But if you know how, you learn how to change the wheel. And you're an old man also, 60 years. You've got heart problem also. And with today's technology, you just push it to the cigarette lighter, you connect it to the bulbs, they will loosen the bulb. You push into the cigarette lighter, it will, your jack will pick up your car also. Slowly, slowly, in not 10 minutes, half an hour, you'll be able to change your wheel. Perhaps your breath will be finished now. You'll have to sit for a while. And then you catch your breath again, but you'll be on your, if you like. Like this, to make our 24 hours the ibadah. And to make, to gain the ma'rifat, recognize Allah Ta'ala. And to gain abdiyah. And to become an abd. And 24 hours of our day is ibadah. Just that little time, learn how to do. Otherwise we find deen is very hard. To learn is very difficult. To practice on deen is very hard. Temptations are so much. You just can't save yourself. But just do it, learn it the right way, and then you'll see you'll many very, very easily. So Allah says, U'budu. This all comes in the word U'budu. Rabbakum, your Rabb. Who is your Rabb? Rabbakum, alladhi khalaqakum. In Arabic there is one beautiful saying, احترم أباك لأنه رباك. That respect and honor your father because he is the one who made your tarbiyah. The father, the mother, from the time the child was born, the child could do nothing whatsoever. Where the child is going in the kitchen and getting milk and water and drinking, small little baby that is still just born, but the parents do everything for the child. Where the child is going toilet and going to do its toilet, the child that is just born, the child just messes. But the mother cleans it up. The mother does everything like that. Much more than that. Allah, when we were nothing. هَلْ أَتَىٰ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهَرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has not that time come upon man of that little time comes in his life? Why doesn't that time come in our life? That we think at one time I was nothing. Did any one of us ever think of that time? That when I was nothing. That even, for example, a person is 40 years old today. 41 years ago, his mother and father also were not talking about it. But 40 years and 9 months, when the mother conceived, and she saw her system changing now. She's having morning sickness now. She's spewing. She's feeling not right now. Her menses have stopped now. She's feeling she's not right now. Then she told the father, I think I'm expecting. Now they started talking. We are hoping. They were not sure, but hope they will be getting a child. I hope it's a boy. I hope it's a girl. May Allah make him healthy. May Allah make him pious. May Allah make him obedient. Now you started being spoken about. But before that you were not even spoken about. You were nothing whatsoever. Who is it from that stage where we were not spoken about? Allah brought us today. We are big people. You got your big hands and legs. Some of us, Allah gave us a lot of wealth and gave us a lot of position. Otherwise, we are fathers in the house, we are mothers in the house, we are shop owners, we are this, we are that, we are a doctor, or we are a merchant, or whatever else it is. But at one time, we were nothing. And again, we go into the time and we will be nothing in the father. If, of course, we do good amal, Allah will give us everything in the summer. Otherwise, we will be turned to sand. Our bodies will be turned to sand, and the roh, according to the mutnun, kama tahyun, our mort will come how we had lived in this world. وَتُحْشَرُونَ كَمَا تَمُوتُونَ. And we will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah, how we had died. So it's very important how we live, so we're going to die. How we die, we will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah. So this time of living is a very important phase. This is the most crucial time that we must live. Right. So anyway, Allah is that, U'budu Rabbakum. Worship your Rabb who brought you from nothingness. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asked by Fir'aun, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Who is your Rabb, O Musa? قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. He said, my Rabb is that person, is that being. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. He gave every creation its form. How it must be made, a human being, an elephant, a mountain. Allah made the form. ثُمَّ هَدَى. And then Allah put it on its course also. For every person, every creation of Allah, one drop of water, one leaf, one speck of sand of the desert. How much sand in the desert? How many specks of sand in the desert? In a mountain, all that Allah is the creator. And Allah is the architect of it. And Allah is the engineer of it. And Allah didn't have to draw plans going to the drawing board and work out this and work out that, that how this will work out, how that will fit in. Allah just by kun, so great is Allah. That one Allah who just by his kun, that everything came into it. That is Rabb. That is our Rabb. Allah Ta'ala is the one who has made everything. Then in this ayat Allah explains, in the whole Quran Allah explains his qudrat. Yeah, Allah explains part of his qudrat. Yeah. U'budu Rabbakum
الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who is creating. That is your Rabb. Is the greatest proof for the existence of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the power of Allah, is you yourself, O insan. Just look at yourself, who made you? If you think my mother and father made me, mother and father together, they can, even if they are great optometrists, they can't make one eye also. They can be the greatest heart specialist, they can't make one heart also. It's Allah alone, in that small factory of the womb of the mother, according to World Health Organization, presently 250,000 babies are born a day in the world. Allah is delivering, making and delivering every day 250,000 babies. Then the other babies are still coming. Next day they are ready. Another 250,000. Next day another 250,000. In other words, Allah is supplying 500,000 eyes every day. And for eyes, Allah hasn't got a separate factory. The womb of the mother is not an assembly plant, that the eyes come from one factory, Japan, and the heart comes from America, and the lungs come from Germany, and in that assembly plant is assembled there. No, no, the mother never saw a farishta, an angel coming with two small eyes. Or what the measuring tape, like the architect, that is the building in proportion, is it right? Are the two arms exactly the same length or what? But perfectly Allah, when the baby is born, two perfect same size legs, hands, two same size legs. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكُمْ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. What put you into dhoka? Why don't you think and become a slave of that Allah who has created you? Why are you turning to dunya? Technology, you are overtaken with a fax machine, with a cell phone, with a computer, the programs of the computer, the maker of all this, Allah, you don't even think of A dog gets a piece of bread from your dog, that dog is loyal to that dog. It comes every day and it will say, I get my bread from here. We get everything from Allah and we don't even think of Allah. We don't come for salah. If we come for salah, in salah we don't think of Allah Ta'ala. How much? This is what we have to get. This is the essence of food. This is the sugar in the tea. There is the salt in the food. If, for example, mashallah, wonderful tea is made, you even added zafran in that tea, saffron, and you added masala in that tea, but you didn't put sugar. The person is hardly one sip, he puts the cup down, bring the sugar first. So we are making ibadah, we are making tilawah, but no enjoyment in our ibadah. No enjoyment in our ibadah, our zikr. Add the sugar of the marifat and the love of Allah, and then see how you'll enjoy your ibadah. You make biryani, wonderful biryani, fresh meat, fresh cut, lamb you brought, and everything else, the spices, but you forgot to put the salt in the meal. The first person takes one morsel of food, he says, I'm full today, I don't feel like it. And the next person makes some excuse, I had a late breakfast, I don't want to eat. The other one makes another excuse, I got an upset tummy, I'm not eating today. The person who is the host, he says, looks like there's something wrong with the food. Everyone is making an excuse. Then when he tastes the food, oh, we forgot to put salt. He adds salt now. And when the salt is added, all forgot upset tummy. And all forgot late breakfast. They finish that whole pot, it looks like they'll eat the pot also. So like that, when we get the love of Allah, the marifat of Allah, and to put that salt, we need somebody to put it. And that is what we, here is the chef, the cook, here it is the sheikh, the one who will teach you how to gain the love. And this is this effort what is called of Islam and Tarbiyat and Tazkiyah, which in Urdu is called Khanqa, and in Arabic to become Bayat, and you have a sheikh to guide. So that is that person who will be able to teach us who our Rabb is. And that your Rabb, one aspect, Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. And if we just have to consider, there are so many aspects, time does not allow us. But one aspect that Allah made us, for example, we as human beings, if we had to make a baby, and how it has to grow up according to our system, drawing blood and all the preparation and that,
then we will perhaps say when the child is born, then he doesn't have teeth. When he's 1 year old, his tooth must be 1 millimeter. When he's 10 years old, his tooth must be 1 centimeter. 20 years, 2 centimeters. Then when boys and girls get married, usually at between the age 20 and 25, now the top tooth will be 2.5 centimeters, 1 inch. And the bottom tooth will be 2.5 centimeters. And it's sunnah also, that before you get married, look at one another a little bit. And usually at that time you smile also. The girl will say, my father is getting me married to a boy or a bulldozer. That is what? The big, big teeth. And you're smiling. And that, like this earth-moving machine bulldozer. How they do. And the boy also will run from there. My mother told me she's a very pretty girl, but she's a bulldozer. She's this earth-moving machine. He'll run from this side, she'll run from that. Who is it that brings our teeth to one level and then they stop growing? Whole life. And if the teeth kept on growing, as the grandmother, 80-year-old grandmother, and 80-year-old grandfather, now the teeth are 8 centimeters. The small bottom teeth, top teeth, 8 centimeters. And they left with their grandchildren. And when the grandchildren come, they want to grab them, kiss them. Grandchildren will run. That they're going to eat us up or what? So big teeth. They won't even come near the poor grandfather and grandmother. Who is it that brought that tooth to that one? The nice, beautiful leather. And whole night it doesn't grow. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ The one who created you and created all of those people before you. Besides that, another one example, then we carry on with the ayat and finish. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala created us and we have got 360 joints in the body. Now, I'm not going to discuss all the 360. We need 360 days. The whole year we need. One joint I will discuss. This elbow joint. If this joint was not here, now with this joint we move our hands easily, no problem whatsoever. If this joint was not here and the hand was straight there. And all these joints are right. We got these joints also. No ulcer, no arthritis, no gout, no nothing. And you take the food in there and keep your hands straight. Try your best to bring the food to your mouth. Or try your best to take your mouth to the food. You can try whole night, you won't get it right. If you are not shy, you can do it now. Try. But if you are shy, then go home again. But go home, and if you got a wife, don't do it in front of her. The wife will say, who is this Maulana? He came, he did sahar, jadu on you. The whole time you're doing like this. What's wrong with you? So go in the bathroom and lock the door. And put the light off. Maybe she's peeping from the keyhole. That why my husband is taking so long. He's dead or what? Why is not coming out? And she will peep and she's seeing you doing like this whole night. So put the light off also, lock up the door and try the whole night and see if you can get your fingers to your mouth or your mouth to your finger. If we ever make shukr to Allah, He gave us this job. We take so easy the food, put in our mouth, alhamdulillah. We enjoy. And then again Allah gave us a tongue that we can taste the food. It's salty, it's sweet, it's hot, it's cold. You want the tea hot, you want the juice cold, you want the biryani nice, masala and salted, and you want your tea with sugar, and Allah, all that on one tongue. If, for example, many machines, you want to do this, you must change the disc. Put this plate in. For the other job, put another plate in. If for drinking tea, Allah gave us a separate tongue. And for eating biryani, another tongue. We have to carry a bag with all our tongues. And then again, every tongue, the tongues can get dry. If the bag will have to be moistened properly. Everything, the temperature of it must be right. And as we are eating, all we see everyone is just changing tongue. What is eating different things now? One tongue, and who made it? Did any scientist make it? Did any mathematician make it? Any philosopher? The poorest person in the jungle also got that in that tongue. And the rich, rich people and the learned people, Allah gave them also. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ And all the people before you also. Don't think your parents made you. We made them also. And we made their parents also. And we made Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. We are the creators of everyone. And all this is for one reason. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you get taqwa. What is taqwa? That ability. The substance of it is within us. To use it to obey the commands of Allah and to stay away from the disobedience of Allah. And to that we must not displease Allah. Taqwa does not really mean. Many of us, we translate it again, and alim will translate taqwa as the fear of Allah. Alim and Rabbani will translate taqwa that you must be afraid not to displease Allah. Not to fear Allah. You don't fear Allah, you love Allah. We are created to love Allah, not to fear and run away from Allah. But today, the ordinary alim will give us bayan and put the fear of Allah. That Allah, we have to be very afraid of Allah. What you have to be afraid of is that Allah, who is so merciful, so kind, we must not displease Allah Ta'ala. That is what you must be afraid. For example, your mother, your father, the husband is so good to you. They do everything for you. Then the fear you have is not that you fear that they are clever. They have done everything for you. They gave you your house, they gave you your shop, they got you married. They did everything. But what you fear, I mustn't displease them. Allah, what all the fathers of the world together and all the brothers of the world together cannot do for one person, Allah has done billion times more for every person. So Allah is to be loved. He gave us two eyes free of charge. He gave us a heart free of charge. He gave us brains free of charge. So Allah is to be loved. What you fear, that how can I displease Allah? That is what is taqwa. That you fear that I must not displease my Allah. So Allah gives all this, that a person loves his life, that I must not displease my Allah. Allah is so kind. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says that to fear Allah out of Allah's punishment and anger, that even a dog, that is the fear of a dog also. A dog, you show him a stick, or you take a stone and it also gets frightened. But to fear Allah, that you don't displease Allah, that you don't make him unhappy, ye hai sharafat e insan. This is an honorable human being, that Allah is so kind to me. He gives me a wonderful sleep. What a house he gave me. What a family he gave me. And you realize, it's not me, Allah has given it. He gave me my eyes free of charge. He gave me brains by which we think. Just imagine the brains also, we take it for granted. Just one little example, you are driving on the road, you see a sign, stop 200 meters. We just think it that you saw it. It's a message that the eyes have given to the brains. And how the eye works also, that's a big long story. It's no one else can do it. No optometrist, no scientist. Allah is the doer for everybody. And Allahu Akbar. Okay? Once I had the experience, we lost the keys of the house. All were looking for it. And then there was outside by the water tap at the bottom, there was an empty cement bag. So I lifted it up, that maybe it's lying there. There was a snake. Now the snake got so small eyes. Much smaller. Our eyes are also very small. But the snake's eye is even much more small. But we were making eye contact with the snake. The snake is watching me, it wants to protect itself also. I must protect myself. I must kill the snake. And the snake, its brain also is working. It must be thinking, I must kill this person. Allah made madad, alhamdulillah. Which comes in the hadith, if you see a snake, kill it. Allah gave me that sunnah of it also. So I shouted for my son, he brought a stick. Kill the snake. Anyway, so this, see how small eyes of the snake. And it makes contact with you. Even an elephant, how big elephant, but the eyes of the elephant compared to the size of the elephant, how small isn't it? All these things, there are great details in this. So anyway, so this eyes, what the parents, even if they are optometrists, there was one doctor, cardiologist in South Africa, one of the main Muslim, very good doctor, pious, whenever he did an operation, he would do two rakats of Salatul Hajj, he will give sadaqah. And when he operated one, he was going to operate, the patient was given chloroform, anesthetic, and he bent down to start the operation, he died of a heart. So the cardiologist and the top cardiologist, his heart is not in his control. in one meeting of all the cardiologists of the world, international meeting. They chose the person who was the most top cardiologist of the world as the chairman of that meeting. In that meeting, he died of a heart attack. So who has gotten it? It's only in Allah's hands. So this is what we have to, that we realize Allah is doing. And we can't displease that Allah who gave us. Just imagine, then Allah explains, Allahu Akbar. After la'allakum tattaqoon, Allah explains one aspect, how merciful Allah is. How can you displease? Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-arda firasha. He is that being who made the earth as a place that you can walk on freely. Hey, if the earth was like some mountains are, up and then there is a gap, up and a gap, like a crab. If the whole world was like that, how could we know? We couldn't walk, forget building a house. Allah made this earth so, in such a way that the earth, the ground, is such that with your name, you can scratch a hole into the ground. Okay? It's so soft Allah made it. And so hard Allah made it, a 20-30 story building stands on that ground. It carries that whole, the whole building. Hey? Allah made it so soft, with your fingernail you can stretch in it. On it, Allah Ta'ala put this huge trucks which are moving. And the earth doesn't go down. If what the trucks and the land, the earth, the roads just have to go down too heavy weight. Everywhere forget potholes and forget dig holes. Big craters on the road all the way. What should happen? Who is it? Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-arda firasha. Wassamaa binaa. And Allah made the skies as a roof for us. Like we got the roof of the masjid here, it is saving us from the rain, from the wind, from the sun, from many things. The sky which Allah has made, which we don't know, scientists haven't reached there, they admit themselves. All they are is below the sky. And what they are discovering today, study them, we will be amazed. It's mind-boggling you. There aren't words to explain what Allah has put. And the sky Allah has put as a roof for us, which protects us from all the things which are happening beyond the sky. So, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And then Allah sends down water from the skies. Rainwater, colorless, no color. Tasteless, no taste. And odorless, no smell also. No taste, no color, no smell. But فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Then from that water which is falling down, no color, no taste, no smell, from the ground, which is dead ground. We urinate on the ground. We walk on the ground. We kick the ground. The ground, no value. But by Allah, His Qudrat, that water that falls, which is tasteless, odorless, colorless, falls on this ground that is dead. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah takes off what fruit. Hey, Allah takes out the mango. And one mango, not one species. How many species of mango? Allah from that same water and ground takes out grapes for you. Allah from that same water and ground takes out bananas for you. From that same water and ground, Allah makes the grass grow. And your sheep eat it, your goats eat it, your cows eat it. You get wonderful milk. Milk Allah Ta'ala takes out من بين فرثه ولبنه ومن بين فرثه ودمه لبنا خالصا سائغا للشاربين. From your milk you enjoy your ice cream. From your milk you enjoy your milkshake. From your milk you enjoy your cocoa. You enjoy your Milo. You enjoy your coffee. You enjoy your tea. All this Allah Ta'ala is doing. How great is not Allah Ta'ala? And then you get your sheep. And then you get your cows, and then you eat your mutton, you get your chicken, your poultry, you get your fish. All this is the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And all this Allah Ta'ala has made for you. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. When this is the case, all Allah wanted one thing. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Don't associate any partner. Don't say I did it. Don't say scientists did it. Don't say the farmers did it. Don't say the astronomers did it, or it is Allah wahdahu. And this means that we have to learn to see beyond the screen who is working behind the screen. Like that Allah made it. Outwardly, the shopkeeper is working, the housewife is cooking, everyone is doing, but behind it, it is only Allah's. The housewife can't do anything. She can't pick up a spoon without the qudrat of Allah. Forget putting the right masala. It's only Allah Ta'ala. You're running your business, multi-million business you are running. It's Allah's help. Otherwise, a person, Allahu Akbar. How many people, just today's news, that one young lady, one celebrity of the world, just dropped down here. So anyone can just, our hands, the rope of our life is not in our hands. It is in the hands of Allah. If Allah wants you at any time, He can just pull your string and there you are gone. You can, one friend of ours at the age of 40, when he was at the top of his business and he was busy building, constructing big flats and building hotels, etc. He was a big businessman on top. He went and sleep in a hotel room, never to wake up. At the age of one good friend of ours, at the age of 40, who built the Darul Uloom Masjid for us. He wanted to build the whole masjid. The foundation he had done, one morning he's going to work, head on collision. So the string is not in our hand, it is in the hand of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says that don't upset Allah. Don't displease Allah Ta'ala. That is taqwa. When Allah is so kind, He did all this for you. How can you do? And the greatest level of taqwa is in the tawheed of Allah. In the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. That don't associate any partners with Allah Ta'ala. Like that we all say we believe in one Allah. But aren't we also associating that I do this? You must do that. He will do that. We don't realize Allah is the doer. How many of us use the word insha'Allah on our tongue? We know one friend of ours in Newcastle in South Africa, very wealthy people, big farms they had. They were returning home, the youngsters, the people who were in charge of everything. They turned home, we are coming, we'll be 5 minutes home. No insha'Allah also? 5 minutes, they were in the mortuary. Hey, motor car accident, and finished. Those people, I met them after 10 years, the father couldn't get over his stuff. How this happened? They were the real, they were the kingpin in the whole, our whole business. All big farms and big things happening. They were the kingpins. 5 minutes, gone. No more to exist. So, insha'Allah. Our story must not be like that man who was going to buy a horse. In our time, going to buy a Mercedes, going to buy a Rolls Royce. So his friend met him on the way and asked him, how are you? Fine. Where are you going to live? Going to buy a horse. Say inshallah. What's the need of inshallah? There are many horses, many cars in the market, so many garages, so many cars, more than enough. And there's more money in my pocket, more than enough money I got in my pocket. And I'll go and choose a car. I'll pay for it. I'll get the car. Why I need inshallah? So he said, okay, if you think like that, then you go. He went, he chose the car, a horse that he wanted to, nice horse. They made a deal, price, everything. He put his hand in his pocket. Oh, not in this pocket, not in this pocket, not in this pocket. Then you see somebody inside pocket, this pocket, looking at, no money. What happened? Oh, my pocket is cut. The crooks cut my pocket, took out all my money. Gone. So now he's coming back now. His face also is now 12 o'clock on the watch. Sad, his face is down. His friend met him, what happened? Where's the horse? Where's the Mercedes? Where's the BM? You're still walking. I thought you're going to drive a Mercedes. He says, inshallah, I was going to buy the horse. Inshallah, there were 200 horses. Inshallah, I had money in my pocket. Inshallah, I was going to make the price. Inshallah, I will pay for it. Now all the inshallah. So today we also think about it. We talk about dini matters. Hey, we have mashuras in Tabligh Jamaat. For some jalsa we have, we talk. Nobody says inshallah. Think about it. We just say, you must do this, I will do this, I got this, I know I will organize this, nobody, leave this to me. No, inshallah. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time didn't say inshallah, Allah stopped wahi to come down for a long time. And that was very, very hard stop. A person can imagine that when you want to buy a car, or you want to get married, or anything, and now no more contact is being made, you're probably not answering the phone. They just ignoring you, how you feel. Especially for a marriage. You spoke to a girl, to the parents, I want to marry, yes, all that, everything. But now when you're phoning, they're not replying. They're not returning your calls. They're not picking up.
For how long Allah Ta'ala broke contact with him? Because one time he didn't say inshallah. And we don't take it as anything serious. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, he left jihad in the path of Allah. And he had 100 wives. And one night he wanted to sleep with each wife so that he could have 100 mujahids. But he forgot to say inshallah. The Farishta angel came to him and told him, say inshallah. Still he forgot. He slept with his 900 wives. Only one wife bore a child to him. And that one child also defaulted. And he didn't do it for his lust and desire. For jihad, he wanted 100 mujahideen, my own children. They will be the top generals in my army. They will listen to me. Only one child was born deformed because he didn't say inshallah. Today we don't say inshallah. Before we eat, no bismillah. After eating, no alhamdulillah. No, this is what we have to develop. Kalam mafhoom inshallah ya shaykh.
Inshallah.
Oh, duha. Duha is a comedian of Egypt. He is a man who made people laugh his whole life. And after he died also he made people laugh. His cover, his grave is there and secured properly. All four sides, but no gate. And his wife's cover, a big gate, but not secured on the other side. So whoever goes there, they laugh all the time. So anyway, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We discuss the sunnah of miswak. Don't forget it. Karenge inshallah. All of us try inshallah to make namaz with wuzu. When we make wuzu, make miswak inshallah. And in this ayat, let us understand, Allah Ta'ala has told us all, we must make his ibadat. Ibadat, five meanings I discussed. One was what is ibadat, which we all know. The other main meaning is ma'rifat, recognition of Allah. To know Allah Ta'ala. And naturally your love for Allah will grow when you know Him. Third is abdiyat, humility must come. Not pride. And fourth is will become abdiyat, the slave of Allah. And the fifth is by which our 24 hours can become ibadat. And Allah Ta'ala said, if we do that, then no problem between the Muslims and non-Muslims and munafiqeen. If all of us do this here, we all will be united. Then for make the ibadat of your Rabb, and He is the one who created you. One, two examples I gave of how Allah has created us. And all this is for taqwa, the fear of Allah. And the fear of Allah meaning, don't displease Allah. Then Allah gave an example how He sends the rain. How He takes out the fruit for you. How can you displease that? May Allah give us all tawfiq to inshallah. Who is joining us to Rundu tomorrow? Bhai Shah Nawaz is coming inshallah. Or who is Bhai Shah Nawaz? Aap akele ho? Inshallah. And also, in the month of Ramadan, in the Darul Ulum in Azadpur, from where we come, in near Johannesburg, we have a full program for 30 days and many brothers come for 40 days. And from around the world people come. Some come with their families also and spend their time. Try and come, inshallah you will benefit tremendously. And in the meantime what you can do is try and listen on the internet. Go on our website, it's ka.org.za. Go on that website and inshallah you can follow the programs there also. Like these programs we are having, we're getting the reports. Somebody in England is following. Somebody in America is following. In Australia they are following. We are sitting here. What place are we sitting in?
Chicago.
But people around the world are listening and benefiting. So you can also go on the website and listen to the bayans. Inshallah you'll get a lot of benefit. Anything else for the moment? We are really indebted to everyone, to Maulana Muhammad, mashallah, all of the program he organized for us from the beginning. May Allah reward him, Maulana Zakaria, Bilal, everyone, Allah reward. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, Allah, we thank and glorify you. that you brought us here to the north of Namibia. Oh Allah, it is an eye-opener for us to see our Muslim brothers in this remote part of the world, and they have kept Islam so strongly alive. The masajid and mashallah, the people coming and the love that they are expressing, only you can reward. Oh Allah, by their barakah, spread Islam in the whole of Namibia, the whole of Africa, in the whole world, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us all become your true, sincere, faithful servants, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us follow the sunnah fully and completely. Give us the love of sunnah. Give us the knowledge of sunnah. Let us practice upon sunnah. And let us spread the sunnah in the whole world. Oh Allah, let us recognize you, your greatness, your beauty, your kindness, your forgiveness. Oh Allah, what great, great qualities you have got. You are a kuntu kanzan makhfiyan. I was a hidden treasure, you yourself, you say. فَأَحْبَقْتُ عَنْ عُعْرَ. And then you desire that you must be created, recognized. فَخَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقِ. Then you created the creation. The object of the creation, the creator, was to recognize you. But we got so busy in the creation of earning dunya and living it up in this dunya that we forgot the purpose why you created us. Oh Allah, let us turn to you. Let us become your slave. Let humility and humbleness come into us. Let us turn our 24 hours into your ibadat, oh Allah. You have made it so practical and so easy that the reality of it dawn on us and come into our lives. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. I'm sure I have two great personalities here. One is our brother Faisal Majhanda and Abdul Rahman, who's there. What's that place's name?
Yusakos.
Whatever.
Yusakos.
Between Bandhuk and Walters Bay, mashallah. Allah reward you all.